You know, when we usually talk about buying a car, it's, well, it's a rational process.
Right. Very practical.
Totally. You ask the boring questions. What's the gas mileage? Does it have heated seats? Is my insurance agent going to have a heart attack?
That's all very responsible things to ask for a responsible life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But today we're taking practical, putting it in a steel box, and dropping it into the ocean.
I think that's a fair description of what we're looking at.
We are doing a deep dive on a for sale listing for a vehicle that is basically a financial liability on wheels.
A very, very fast financial liability. We're dissecting a trophy truck spec vehicle. It's a machine built for one thing and one thing only.
Which is?
To go as fast as humanly possible over terrain that would literally tear a normal car in half.
And it's got a name to match. The Reaper. It sounds like something from a metal album.
And it has a price tag that makes you pause.
It really does. And looking at our source docs, the price is a little confusing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The main spec sheet lists it pretty clearly, yeah. $425,000.
Okay.
But then you see the, you know, the big social media glamour shot. And in huge letters, it just says $500K. Swipe for details.
Half. $1 million. Mm-hmm. For a pickup truck you can't even legally drive to the grocery store.
Not legally, no.
So that's our mission for this deep dive. We have to figure out what exactly you're getting for that kind of money.
Yeah.
Because this is not your neighbor's F-150.
Not even in the same universe. And calling it a dirt toy is like calling an F-22 a kite. This thing is a professional racing instrument. When you get into the build sheets, the dyno runs, you see it's just a collection of the absolute best of the best in off-road engineering.
Okay, so let's start with what you see first, because even the photos were a bit of a trip. I opened the gallery and I thought I was looking at two different trucks.
The duality of the machine, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
In one set of pictures, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's this stark white body, black accents, the Reaper written on the bumper. It looks like a stormtrooper that hits the gym.
That's the for sale look. Cleaned up, prepped, ready to go.
But then you keep swiping, and this is my favorite part. Suddenly it's in action. It's not white anymore. It's covered in this red and yellow McDonald livery.
The McTrick truck.
The McTrick truck. Which is just an amazing name.
It is.
And it's literally flying through the air,
yeah,
kicking up this huge cloud of dust. It looks like it is being absolutely punished.
And that's the whole point. That's what it's built for. Mm. On the showroom floor, it's art. In the desert, it's a tool designed for abuse.
But the seller says it's, and this is a quote, basically a brand new truck. So how can it be brand new if I'm looking at a photo of it auditioning to be a Happy Meal toy?
Because new in desert racing is a... it's a relative term. The listing says it's been completely stripped to the chassis and rebuilt from the ground up. It's like the ship of Theseus.
Right. If you replace every single part, is it still the same ship?
Exactly. The skeleton is the same, but every wear item, every bolt, every bearing is fresh. And that skeleton, that's the key.
Okay, let's talk about that. The listing says it's a Geyser Gen 2 chassis, originally built in 2011.
Yep.
Now, to me, if I'm spending $500,000, a chassis from 2011 sounds old.
Yeah.
Why not a 2025 frame?
That's a great question. It really gets to the heart of off-road racing culture. Geyser Bros isn't just a builder, they're legendary. A Geyser chassis is like a Stradivarius violin.
So you're paying for the name.
You're paying for the geometry, for the trust. Geyser trucks have won everything. Their design is proven. A 2011 Geyser chassis that's been checked for cracks and prepped is a known quantity. You know it works. A brand new design from someone else, that's an experiment.
And you don't want to be experimenting at 120 miles an hour in the desert.
You really don't. You're buying the confidence that the frame isn't going to just fold in half.
That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Okay, let's get under the hood.
Yeah.
I saw the dyno sheet in our sources. You know, the computer printout of the engine power. And I got to be honest.
Let me guess. You were underwhelmed.
Totally. I mean, it's a super truck. I'm thinking, I don't know, 1,000 horsepower, something insane.
And what did it say?
HP SAE 383 and 338 foot-pounds of torque. My neighbor's minivan probably has close to that. Why is this a $500,000 truck with 383 horsepower?
This is the spec part of trophy truck spec. The class is regulated.
Ah, so it's the rules.
It's the rules. You can't just throw a monster engine in it. The build sheet says it's a turnkey LS3 sealed motor. Sealed is the word.
What does that mean? Literally sealed.
Yeah, the builder puts a tamper-proof tag on it. Everyone has to run a similar engine. It keeps the playing field level. It's not about who has the biggest wallet for an engine.
It's about driver skill and setup.
Exactly. And the other factor is reliability. A 1,000 horsepower engine is a ticking bomb. This 383 horsepower LS3, It's understressed. It will run flat out for 1,000 miles in the desert heat and not complain. You're buying the ability to actually finish the race.
It's a marathon runner, not a sprinter.
Got it.
But the way that power gets to the ground, I mean, this list is wild. I see a turbo 400 transmission and then something called a Tube Works underdrive.
Ah, the underdrive. That is a cool piece of gear.
Okay, break that down for me, because underdrive sounds like you're making it slower.
Think about a bike with a lot of gears. When you go up a steep hill, you shift way down, right?
Yeah, so you're pedaling like crazy, but the wheel is turning slowly.
Right, you get tons of torque. That's what the underdrive does. It lets the drive shaft, the pole connecting the engine to the wheels, spin way faster than the wheels are actually turning.
And why would you want that?
It reduces the stress on the drive shaft. If you just send all that torque through a slow spinning shaft and the tires suddenly grab traction.
Like after you land a jump.
Exactly. You can just snap it, twist it like a pretzel. By spinning it faster, you protect the whole drive line from those massive shocks.
So the engine's modest, but everything behind it is built for a war zone.
It's all tank parts. Tube Works rear end, 4.11 gears. These are massive chunks of steel.
Okay, so engine is the heart, drivetrain is the muscle.
Oh.
But you've always said the suspension is the real soul of one of these things.
It is. Horsepower is vanity. Suspension is sanity. If you can't keep the tires on the ground, all the power in the world means nothing.
The magic carpet ride.
That's the goal. And the list for the Reaper is just, it's all about damping. The brand Fox is just everywhere.
Yeah, I see Fox 4.0 bypass and Fox 3.0 coilover on every single corner.
So that's two shocks per wheel. The 3.0 coilover is the spring. It holds the truck up. But that 4.0 bypass, that's the monster.
4 inches wide.
Yep. Imagine a big coffee can.
Yeah.
And bypass is the magic word.
Explain that. What's it bypassing?
Okay, so a normal shock is just a piston moving through oil, right? One stiffness. A bypass shock has these external tubes on it.
I see those in the pictures.
Those tubes let the oil literally bypass the piston at certain points. So when the truck is just cruising along, the oil flows freely, the ride is soft. But when you hit a huge bump and the wheel shoots up.
The piston moves past those tubes.
And closes them off. So the shock gets incredibly stiff really fast. It mechanically gets firmer the harder you hit it. It stops the truck from bottoming out and smashing itself to pieces.
Oh, without computers.
Pure fluid dynamics.
Yeah.
And notice that the listing mentions the trailing arms have 3 races on them.
It stuck out. It's the only thing they admit is used.
That's the seller flexing. The trailing arms take the worst abuse imaginable. Saying they only have 3 races is like saying they're barely broken in.
And stopping this thing.
Brembo brakes, 6 piston calipers, big ones.
Even I know Brembo. That's Ferrari level stuff.
It is. But look at the detail. Geyser brake bias adjuster. That's a knob in the cab that lets the driver change the brake pressure from front to back.
On the fly.
Fuel.
This truck has a 90-gallon fuel cell.
Yeah.
That's over 600 pounds of gas. As you burn it, the back of the truck gets lighter and lighter. If you don't adjust the brakes, the rear wheels will just lock up because there's no weight on them. You have to constantly dial the bias forward during a race.
My brain just hurts thinking about that. You're driving, navigating, and doing weight distribution math at the same time.
It's a busy day at the office, which brings us inside the truck.
Yeah, let's climb in, because the inside is, it's not Mad Max, it's Star Trek.
It's a full-on glass cockpit.
The pictures of the dash, it's all carbon fiber and just screens everywhere.
Well, you have the driver, who's just focused on what's right in front of them, the co-driver, the navigator, they're running the whole IT department.
I'm seeing a GPS on the driver's side, but the passenger has a huge 12-inch GPS plus an iPad.
Redundancy is everything. The GPS shows the course. The iPad is probably running satellite imagery so they can see cliffs or ravines that aren't on the map.
Then there's a MoTeC display.
That's the truck's health.
Mm.
Engine temp, oil pressure. If anything goes wrong, that screen starts yelling at you.
But the craziest thing on this list has to be Starstream with 2 GoPros. Is that Starlink?
It sure looks like it. They've integrated a satellite dish into the truck.
That's nuts.
Mm.
You're in the middle of nowhere in Baja. And you're live streaming to YouTube in HD.
Welcome to modern racing. You're connected to the world from a place with no cell service.
But for the guys inside, I see Rugged Radio's Mac air pumpers. What is that?
That's a lifesaver. It's a filtered air system. It pumps clean air through a hose directly into your helmet.
Not for AC.
It's so you can breathe. When you're behind another truck, the dust is so thick you can't see your own hood. Without fresh air being forced into your helmet, you'd be choking on silt.
So you're basically in a spacesuit.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, with all this aerospace tech, we have to talk about the personality. Because, well, the owner has a certain style.
You're talking about the floor mats.
I am
yeah.
100% talking about the floor mats. In this $500,000 machine, there are custom mats with a skeleton ripping through a checkered flag.
And skull seat covers. It fits the Reaper name.
It does. It keeps it from feeling sterile. It reminds you a person built this, a mm-hmm. person who probably listens to a lot of heavy metal.
A little memento mori, remember death. Probably good advice at those speeds.
And speaking of the owner, the captions on these listings are just, they're so funny and almost painful to read.
They're very candid. Usually these are so dry, this guy is. Well, he's venting.
He really is. There's one where he says, "None of you are getting presents for Christmas because I spent all of my money on car parts." Then he quotes the Grinch.
That is the anthem of anyone in motorsports. The vehicle just eats every dollar you have.
And he sounds genuinely desperate. He says, "Think someone better hurry up and buy this thing before I do something irresponsible and try racing it myself."
That's the most revealing line in the whole thing.
Why do you say that?
Because it's not just a sale. It's an act of self-preservation. He knows that if that truck is in his garage, he will go use it. He'll go break it, and maybe himself. He's trying to sell the temptation.
It's like trying to sell your last cigarette because you're quitting. Please, just take this away from me.
Exactly. But he also knows the value. He says it's turnkey. Just add fuel and go race. He wants to see it on the podium.
So let's bring it back to that. Is it worth it? We've gone through the Geyser chassis, the sealed engine, the Fox shocks.
And the wiring. We can't skip that. It was done by Javi Valenzuela of Vildosola Racing. That's a top-tier race team. Getting your wiring done by them is like getting a suit from a master tailor. It means the truck won't just die electrically in the desert.
Right. So you add all that up. If I tried to build this exact truck today, starting from scratch,
mm-hmm.
what would it cost me?
More. Almost certainly more than the asking price.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And that's not even counting the labor. The hours to assemble and tune a machine like this are, they're in the thousands.
So you're buying time. You're buying a shortcut.
A massive shortcut. A new build is a year, maybe 18 months of work, testing, debugging. This is done. You can buy it Friday and be on the starting line Saturday. That convenience is worth a lot of money.
It's the difference between buying a pile of lumber and buying a finished house.
A finished house that can survive an earthquake, yeah.
A very fast, very specific bunker. But there's something else here, isn't there? We can add up the parts. We can justify the cost.
Mm.
But there's an emotional piece.
Of course.
When you look at that picture of the Reaper launching off a dune, do you see a bad investment? Or do you see, I don't know, freedom?
I see capability. That's what you're buying. You're buying the ability to look at a mountain range that no one can cross and just say, I'm going over that.
Yeah.
It ignores the rules of geography.
Ignores the rules of geography. I love that.
And the fact that it has a history, the whole McTrick truck thing, the rebuild.
Yeah.
It gives it a soul.
So here's the final question for you listening. We've looked at the specs. We've looked at the price. The logical part of your brain sees a liability, a hole you just pour money into. The seller even admits it.
It is objectively irresponsible.
But then you see that picture of the truck hanging in the air, dust everywhere. And you feel that little tug, don't you?
That urge.
Yeah. So is buying a race car like this just a bad financial decision? Or is it buying a license to be a little crazy in a world that is usually way too sane? If you had the cash sitting there, would you pick the safety of the savings account or the thrill of the Reaper?
I think we both know the irresponsible answer to that.
I think we do. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Catch you on the next one.
Drive safe or fast.
Preferably both.
Yes,